Matthew chapter 6. I want to preach this morning on God's divine providence. And what the word providence means is the act of providing, hence the word providence. But it's more than just the act of providing. It is the act of providing or preparing for future use, or to have a foresight about, or as we look at the spiritual aspect of it in the definition, it is the care and superintendence that God exercises over His creation. Not only does God care for the creation, as we're going to see here in a minute, but God cares for us. God cares for His children this morning. God cares for you. God cares about your life. God cares about your future. God cares about what you do. God cares about how we serve Him. God cares about every aspect in our life. But then as we come and knowing that God cares about every aspect, then shouldn't we care about what God thinks? See, we liked the part just a few minutes ago when I talked about God caring about us and God caring about every aspect in our life, but how much do we care about what God thinks about what's going on in our life this morning? So let's stand to our feet this morning as we read Matthew chapter 6. And I want to begin to read in verse 25. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 25. Let's begin to read. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, or what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And here's a good question: are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Now let me stop here and say something about that real quick. You remember what the Queen of Sheba said about Solomon? She said, "The half has not been told about you, Solomon." Out of all the world, the Queen of Sheba come in to visit him and said, "The half has not been told." And Jesus right here says that the lilies of the field are arrayed better than Solomon was. Now, ain't that amazing today? Verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Boy, I've been there. I feel like I stay there sometimes. What are you talking about? Oh, you have little faith. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You can be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. Touch us and help us. I save somebody that's lost. I help somebody that has a need. I pray you'd open the scripture to us today that we might be able to preach what you have gave us. Bring back to our mind the things that we've studied and thoughts that you've gave us. Save somebody, help somebody, and anoint us afresh for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look at this and we think about God's provision out of this scripture, now let me say today that I am not a Calvinist nor a hyper-Calvinist, but I do believe God's got a plan for your life. I believe God's got a will that He wants you to do and that He wants me to do. I listen, and the very first thing is to be saved. Amen. That is God's will. I mean, He would that none would perish, but that all should come to repentance. Talking about provision. Did God not provide us a way to get to God? I remember in the book of Genesis chapter 22,
22, when Isaac and Abraham was going to go up on the mountain to worship. You remember that? And he looks at Abraham, Isaac does, and he says, "My father," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Can I say at Calvary, God provided us a way to get to him. Amen. And by trusting him, putting your faith and your hope in him and asking him to save you, I'm glad that he'd do that. John chapter 1, John seen him coming. John the Baptist did, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Revelations 13 and 8, I said he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I'm glad God provided us a Lamb so that we could have provision and that to get to him. Amen. Friend, I'm glad it's not only a Lamb in provision to get to him. Amen. Let me park here for just this. Ain't even in my introduction. Amen. But he's not only the Lamb for provision that would get us to God, but he is the Lamb that would fill us and help us and not only provide the way, I would provide the needs that we need in our life today. Amen. I'm glad that, you know, he said, "You got to take of me and eat of my flesh." He said, "I am the bread of life." I understand that he's not only the bread that gives us life, but he was the bread and is the bread that fulfills us and helps us and strengthens us to go on in this life. I hope I'm making sense this morning. Amen. But I'm glad he is. God provided. He provided not only for us, he provided for the whole world. I mean, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He'll save anybody and everybody that'll come to him today. Can I say, as we find God's provision to get to him, God has always provided for his people. As you look through the Old Testament, now I'm trying to hurry through my introduction because I want to get somewhere today. He always took care of the nation of Israel. Even when they wandered in the wilderness, God took care of them, didn't he? Fed them with manna that fell from heaven and made it fall from heaven 6 days a week that they could gather for 7 days. You know, on Friday, they'd go out and gather up twice as much as they needed, and it would keep until Saturday evening. Ain't that amazing? But yet, if they took too much through the week, it would spoil on them just sure as the world. Amen. God had a way of doing things, didn't he? You know, God took care of the nation of Israel. He fed them. Even in his anger, did he not take care of them? I mean, if you go back and you look, I mean, he fed them, and even when they wanted quail, now he ended, and you got to be careful right here out of the Bible, and I'm going to deal with this here in a minute. But it said they wanted meat, and they begged God for meat, and God gave them so much meat, he said, "I'll give it to you till it runs out your nostrils." And while they were eating it, God killed them for it. Why? They fell out lusting after it, didn't they? But I'll deal with that here in a minute. But God gave them direction. He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He kept them clothed the whole 40 years over there in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. He protected them from the enemy. And when they crossed Jordan and went to fight, God fought for them the whole time. God took care of them. There was a providence of God's people that he provided for. We see that he takes care of nature. We see that in the scripture today. Does he not take care of the fowls of the air and the lilies that are out there in the field? Does he not feed them, see to them, handle all their needs? I listen today, the Bible even talks about one place, I believe it is, in the book of Matthew, that there's not a sparrow that don't fall, that God don't see today. Amen. You ever seen a bird out there worrying itself to death, rubbing its hands, wondering how it's going to eat? You ever seen them worry? I don't know if birds, you reckon birds get anxiety? Why is it we're the only people that gets anxiety? I've never seen a bird get anxiety. They might, I don't think so though, but what scripture says right here, I think they understand and know that the Heavenly Father is going to take care of them. Now let me say this, as I move on,
We get to thinking about something right here, and well, God's going to meet my needs. He is going to meet your needs, but what is your needs? What does He deal with in this passage of Scripture right here? What's He doing? Now, this is going to let the ire out of some of you right now, because here the preacher is. God's going to provide. God's going to take care of us. God's going to handle everything. God's going to see to it. And I'm going to get what I want. What does He deal with? Look over here in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul said this, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. As I read this and I studied this, that let the air out of my sails last night. As I was looking over this and really got to applying this scripture and looking into my life and looking at what God had promised to provide and take care. And I know God provides far more than that. I understand. I'm not dumb, okay? I've tried Him. I know what He's capable of. No, I don't. But I know what He's been capable of in my life. Amen. But you know what He promised us? Food and raiment. It's what He promised us. Food and raiment. He promised to feed us, and He promised to clothe us. You know what He done? He fed the birds, and He clothed the lilies, and He said, look, He said, if God does these things, in verse 26, He said, are you not much better than they? If God's going to take care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, is He not going to take care of us? Did He not clothe Israel and feed Israel? Did He not take care of him and see to it? Now, I want to look at three things this morning real quick about God's divine providence. I want you to look in verse 32, the latter part, after He talks about the Gentiles. After all these things of the Gentiles, see, what are we talking about? We're talking about the material possessions and the material wealth and that of the world. He said, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Number one, there is the knowledge of the heavenly Father. He knows. Listen, He is watching over you. Matthew chapter 10. Take your Bible and go over there. I made mention of this scripture just a few minutes ago. But I want you to look here for just a second. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Look in verse 29, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. How many of us have worried about our needs? Has any of us really been worried about where we were going to lay our head down in the nighttime and what we were going to eat? Well, now, I'm worried about paying bills. That ain't what I ask you. I didn't ask you about your finances. I ask you, how many of us have been worried about where we were going to lay our head of the night time, whether we were going to have clothes on at that time, and whether we were going to get to eat? Now, I'm looking across the room right now, and I dare say there ain't many of us ever been that way. Now, you might have been over there. I don't know. But I can tell you, in my life, I've never worried about having a roof over my head, which ain't even really what He promised. Is it? We think God promised us shelter, but He didn't promise. You know, the Apostle Paul spent many times out in the open stars. He spent many days out in the deep out there when he was shipwrecked. But yet God provided, didn't He? Boy, ain't this just a wonderful message this morning? Now, I believe God provided us our house. I do. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about what God has promised us. God knows what we need. He is watching over you and me. And we look at somebody that sometimes is barely getting by. We've got a misconception in our nation that everybody ought to have money and that everybody ought to be rich and everybody ought to own property and everybody ought to have the finest house and drive the finest vehicle and wear the finest clothes. We get a misconception sometimes about that. There's a lot of people out there trying their hardest, and they're doing all they can do. I remember a friend of mine, he picked up a hitchhiker one time on the highway.
And he said, and he's a preacher friend, he said, I was going to tell him about the Lord. He said he got in the truck with me and he told me more about the Lord than what I knew about the Lord. You know, that does happen, friend. Just because somebody, I remember Brother Earl Hughes talking about hoboing trains to go preach. Think about it for just a second. We've got it made, don't we? When's the last time that me and you was really ever concerned and worried about our basic need of having clothes on our back and food in our belly? When's the last time me and you was ever concerned about that? Why? Because we always feel like that we can go do something, don't we? Do you know that God has promised us to take care of us? Now, I'm glad God takes care of us more than that. I'm glad I've got a good vehicle. God's provided that vehicle. I prayed about that vehicle. I did, man. I prayed about both vehicles that we're driving. You realize the vehicle, my blue truck that I'm driving, got almost 256,000 miles on it. I prayed about that thing before I bought it. God said buy it. So I bought it, and I bought it with 93,000 miles on it back in 2007 and still driving it. And done very minimal to it other than trying my best to take care of it on the maintenance side. And God has kept it running. And it's a Ford, Zeke, to beat anything. Amen. 256,000 miles, and I'm going to drive it till the wheels fall off of it. I mean, that's what I want to do. And then I'll try to put them back on again. But what I'm saying is, God, He knows what you need. Can I tell you, He knows more about what you need than you know what you need? He knows exactly what you need. Listen, can I tell you that? He said that sparrow can't even follow. How many birds are in the world at any given time? And Jesus said one of them cannot fall to the ground without the Heavenly Father saying so and seeing it. He said the very hairs. You know how much God cares for you? He's numbered your hair. Now some of us, or let me rephrase that, some of y'all's got more than some of us. I was about to say that backwards, wasn't I? I mean, the older I get, the more mine's thinning out. And so I just wear it short. It don't look so bad. Amen. But you know what? He numbers our hair. That's how much God cares for us. You know, the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, as he's talking about the church. He's talking about marriage. He's talking about husband and wife. But he talks about the church at the same time and how much he cares for the church. And here's what he said. He said, no man hath ever yet had his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The Lord nourishes us and cherishes us. You know what the word cherish means? It means to treat with tenderness and affection, or to hold. Like you do your children. You cherish your children. You cherish your grandchildren. I mean, you just say you love on them and want to love on them. And you take care of them. And he says not only does he cherish us, but he nourishes us. He takes care of us and causes us to grow. That's how much God loves us and wants to take care of us. He provides for us, does he not? He makes provision for us as a mom and a dad makes provision for their children. So does the Lord make provision for His children. Psalms chapter 17, David said, keep me as the apple of the eye. He said, Lord, make me, I want to be special to you. Can I tell you, every one of us in here today that are saved are special to Him. He cares for us. He provides for us. He said over here that what? That our Heavenly Father knows that we have need of these things. You know, He knows our need even when we don't. Our needs He will supply. Now, I'm glad He gives us sometimes our wants. I'm glad He does. He blesses us with our wants. He provides our needs and then blesses us with some things. Well, you know, some things you want ain't bad. I've heard preachers preach and my soul, they just, if you want something a little extra, they'll wear you out over that. Listen, you know what? God is good to us, ain't He? We've got so much extra in our life, it's unreal. I mean, it is unreal, the extra that I have in my house. Imagine, listen, everywhere I turn and look sometimes, they're building more and more storage units. Let me say this. When my mom and dad When they first got married, and my dad was in the Navy when they got married, he was stationed out in Memphis. He went through his training and had to go to Millington, which is north of Memphis. And he said, son, when we left Memphis to go to Pensacola, when they moved him to Pensacola, he said, we took everything we owned and put in a car. Everything. Everything there. The apartment they lived in was fully furnished. And he said, we put everything we owned in a car and took off to Pensacola. Now, could we do that? You know, even when me and Kelly got married, I couldn't put everything I owned in a car and haul around. I mean, I had more junk than what I know to do with when we got married. Hadn't God blessed us? Hadn't God been good to us? I mean, look at the church house that we're in today. Man, we're not in a 30 by 30 building with a coal oil stove in the middle of it, sitting on hardback benches with no padding on it. I'm about to freeze to death in here. We're comfortable, ain't we? I'm almost afraid that's been part of our problem. It's comfortability. We've got comfortable, hadn't we? I went to a missions conference this past week, and boy, heard the preacher just done a good job on that. But we don't need to worry about our wants. We don't need to worry about our wants, but we certainly do not need to worry about our needs. He's going to take care of them. Do you not believe that God will take care of you? You go back and you look. He said, therefore take no thought, saying, well, I understand he's talking to Israel. I understand. I know the doctrinal aspect of this scripture. I understand that. I know he's talking to Israel. But the same applies to his children today. He says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know, the Bible talks about in Psalms chapter 37, David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed a begging bread. I believe a faithful tithing church member, a friend that loves God and sees to the work of God, and I'll deal with that in a minute, God will take care of them. What shall we eat or what shall we drink? Eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? He keeps us, the apple of his eye, takes care of us. The Bible even talks about in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Jeff wrote this out last week, I believe it was a week before last, in Sunday school, when Zion had thought that the Lord had forgot them. And he says, can a mother forget their suckling child? And he said, even if she does, I have graven thee on the palms of my hand. God's graven us into him. We're part of him. We are his today. The knowledge of the Heavenly Father is he knows what we need. But then the action of the earthly child. Look at what he says. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first. See, there's a conjunction there. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't preach health and wealth, you know that. But I do believe God will take care of us. But I believe God takes care of us when we take care of his business. And this is where people mess up a lot of times. This is where we're at right now with COVID. This is where people miss what God wants us to do. He said, but first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right. God's got to be first. God's got to be first. I don't think Brother Marvin would care for me telling you this. He didn't tell me not to tell it, so I'm going to tell it. If I tell it and one's supposed to, he'll tell me you shouldn't have told that. But since he ain't here, I'm going to tell it. Brother Marvin, you know, we all know his work schedule. He'd been working every other Sunday. And he come to me here a month or two ago and he said, preacher, I want you to be praying that God will help me get a job to where I won't have to work Sundays. He said, I can't do what I need to do for the Lord with me working Sundays. I said, Brother Marvin, I have to pray about that. And he says, I know what you preached here sometime back that I'm going to pray it, but then I'm going to have to go do something about it. I said, yeah, you are. You know, sometimes people just need some encouragement to do what they already know to do. They just need somebody to help them. You know, it's kind of like people come to you and they want encouragement to go do something that they know they ought not to do. You know, they want us to justify it. But you know, sometimes people just need some encouragement to go do what they know to do. And I'm not saying that's the way Brother Marvin was, but you know, he called me here a while back and he said, I'm going for a job interview at such and such place. And he said, you pray that if it's God's will that I get this thing. And I said, okay. So he called me and he said, they've offered me a job. But he said, it's going to be at a substantial pay cut. And he told me how much it was, but I ain't going to tell y'all. And he said, so you just pray that the Lord gives us peace on that thing. And so the Lord gave him peace and he took it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, when he came over to the house and talked to me about that sometime back, this was the verse. He said, this is the only verse that I've got to hold on to right here in doing what I'm doing. He said, I'm going to seek what God wants me to do first and I'm going to expect him to take care of the rest of it. I said, that's a good way to look at it, Brother Marvin. Now, I'm going to tell you, when we get serious about serving God and want to serve Him, sometimes God's going to put us to the test to see whether we're going to do what we said. Whether we're honest about seeking God first. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's not material items first. It's godly things first. It's the kingdom of God and Him in our life. We go back to the book, or say in Matthew chapter 6, go back a few chapters in verse 19. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure at? Is it in land, property, money, shotguns, four-wheel drives and four-wheelers? I like all that stuff. I don't think God's against you having that stuff. I think God's against stuff having you. If I could buy more property right now, I would. I wish my neighbor would sell me some. I'd buy it. I mean, I'm not kidding. I'd shell out the money for it. But listen, there's a lot of people sitting in church today a lot of people ain't even in church today because that stuff has them. They're working a job because they want that money. They want double time. They're making double time today. They volunteered to work Sunday so that they didn't want to ask to work Sunday. They volunteered to work Sunday because they're making double time on it. But you know what? He said, seek ye first. What's first in our life? What's first in your life? Well, preacher, we can't live that way. We can't do those things. You know, our past decisions, our past actions sometimes seems to hinder us on our future actions for God. What are you talking about? You put yourself so steep in debt, how are you going to get out of it? These people today that are basing their life on what they can work overtime on the job. Ain't that what you told me up there? There's people that you work with, they base their bills on their overtime. That's crazy. Now, I wouldn't do that. I remember I went to a job, this was years ago, and this was when $10 an hour wasn't too bad. It wasn't the best in the world, but it wasn't too bad. And I remember making $10 an hour, and then I went from making $10 an hour to making $35,000 a year. They moved from one place to another, and we increased that much. That's a lot of money. You can do the math on that. And I kept that job for 90 days and hated it. And it wasn't worth the $35,000 a year. And I give it back to them. And you know what? I went back to $10 an hour. Now that was a big deal to go from $35,000 a year to $10 an hour. But you know what? At least I was smart enough by God's help and divine presence and His divine protection and His divine providence that I knew better not to make no bills on that $35,000 a year. When I tell you that I do something, you just assumed that God had helped me do it. Because Mark ain't that smart. Okay? When I say that I done this and that I accomplished this and God had, you know, that I got all the way through this, it was God that brought me through that. It was not my wisdom. I think sometimes God watches out for us even, and you excuse my language, for our dumbness sometimes. He helps us. If we'll seek Him, He'll help us. But do we seek Him first? Am I making sense this morning? Am I helping us? I hope so. When we put the work of God and His will first in our life, we seek Him. He said, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let me ask us this, church. What are we seeking this morning? Are we seeking souls? When's the last time you witnessed anybody? When's the last time you hand out a tract? When's the last time you told somebody about heaven and hell? When's the last time you encouraged somebody to get saved? When's the last time you prayed for somebody to get saved? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What about God's will for your life? Putting God and God's work and your life in His hands. And I mean, say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I'm here. I'm moldable clay. Teach me and put me where you want me. How many of us ever said that? You say, well, I have, and I'm right where I need. That's good. That's good. Some people won't say that because they're afraid God will call them halfway around the world and make a missionary out of them. And He might. But you know, I've got a feeling God probably... I can't say probably, but I got a feeling that God wants you to, I know God wants you to serve Him where you're at. God wants you to put Him first wherever you're at. He wants to be first. So what about His will in your life? COVID has shined a light on a lot of people. And a lot of things. It has. I know these people that are quarantining for reasons. I understand that. I appreciate that. Them ain't the people I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people that's got health problems. And all they ever do is they run into the grocery store and they run out. And that's the only place they go. Because they people that do that. And they still worried about this thing. Do you know these people go everywhere else? But yet when it comes time to go to church or do the work of God, now I can't get around people. Just shining the light. God ain't first. God ain't first in their life. I mean, let me ask you something. Where's this church fit into your life at? I mean, I know God ordained the family first. I understand, but I ain't talking about the family right now. I'm talking about the church. Where's this church? So it's Sunday morning. I'm here. If it's in my, what about tonight? What about Wednesday night? What about Sunday school? What about? Where's it fit in at? He said, well, there's more to serving God than there is just coming to church. I agree to that. Amen. I'm with you on that. But I know that somewhere church ought to fit in. Well, we were good when I was talking about God providing, but boy, now when we get talking about putting Him first, we've got kind of quiet here. Where does church fit into your life at? We get up and go to work at least 40 hours a week most of the time. You say, don't tell me about 2 hours on Sunday morning, an hour and a half on Sunday night, and an hour on Wednesday night. I'm tired of you. Well, I mean, you work 40 hours a week at least. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God. He didn't say go seek your stuff. He didn't say seek what you want to do. He didn't say go out and seek your desires. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God. How many of us are doing that? You know, there was in Matthew chapter 22, he told us to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy might and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two laws hang all the prophets and the law, or law and the prophets. How much do we love God? You know, Elijah told the widow woman over there in 1 Kings chapter 17, come up there and he told her, said, go make me a cake. Give me a drink of water and go make me a cake. And, you know, she came over there and said, I can't do that. Said, I'm gathering up sticks. And said, I've got enough oil and meal to go make me and my son a cake, and then we're going to die. That'd be a horrible place to be, wouldn't it? They were looking for death. Now, you got to remember, it's not rained for around 3 years at this point. Kind of dry, ain't it? And she didn't have no hope. But you know what Elijah told her? Elijah said unto her, fear not.
Go and do as thou hast said. What was that? Going to take them sticks, make a cake. Said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Elijah said, make my cake first before you make yours. You know what God's telling us? Make his cake first before we make ours. And he said, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And you know what? You read the rest of that story. The meal barrel never failed. The cruse of oil never failed. Why? She made his first. Deuteronomy chapter 26, and it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God give thee for an inheritance and possess it and dwellest therein, that thou should take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. He said, what you get, you bring to the Lord first. First. I remember years ago, as I was in the church that I grew up in, we went on a mission trip. Man, it's bad. Went on a mission trip. Was up around, went up in Michigan and was doing a tent revival the night and doing a vacation Bible school the morning in the tent. And I remember the preacher up there, him telling us about a lady that was in his church. And she'd got saved. She'd never been in church. She'd got saved. He was preaching and teaching on tithing. And said when she got paid that next week, she cashed her check and brought her money right then. Because she did not want to spend it. Because it belonged to God. Wanted to make sure that God, what was coming to his, first. First. A lot of times we give God the leftovers sometime, don't we? First, he said, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then we find number three, the addition of God's blessing. And he said, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, he'll let us flounder around out there and fail. He will. If we try to do it our way, go our way, do our thing. If we don't make him first. But if we'll make us available first to him. Say, Lord, I want to do first what you'd have me to do. You know, putting him first sometimes cancels our plans. It does. It cancels our plans. I've had that happen. Have somewhere to go, something that I wanted to do, and something else showed up. And sometimes I'd be on the way to do what I want to do, and God would get involved in the arrangements, and I'd do his work. How many of us has ever missed his work? By going today. I'm sure that I have over the years. I know that I have. I've missed his work for fear. Fear of having to go do what he'd want me to do. Be afraid of it. Even though knowing God would provide and take care of the whole way. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we just go do what God would want us to do, find out what God wants us to do, and all these things shall be added unto you, then he's going to make the addition of his blessings. When we give our times, tithes, talents, treasure, everything that God wants us to give to him, he's going to take care of us. We need not think that God is going to open the abundance of heaven when we will not open the abundance of our heart to him. Amen? Why would he? Why should he? Let me ask you this. How many of you moms and dads, when your children are acting less like the children that you'd like them to, how many of you are just going to go out of your way to give them something that you want them to have? You understand why? And God's better to us than you'll be to your children. And I know that you moms and dads are good to your children and have been good to you and good to your grandchildren and all these things. But imagine how much better God is to us. Amen? But he's still the same way. He's not going to bless us when we're not going to open our heart to do his work first. It's just not going to happen. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes, I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. Sometimes seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we don't know what's in front of us. We don't know. I am very guilty. I do not like to go down a road that I do not know where it's going. I do not like to go down a path that I don't know what's on the other side of it. And I'm that way physically. I don't like to go down a road that I've not physically got a map and say, this is where we're going to end up at. You ever been with somebody and they'll turn down the road and say, well, let's just see where this road goes. That's not me. And you know, I'm that way in my spiritual life too, if I ain't careful. When God says, turn down this road right here, I don't know where that road's going. I don't know. And so that makes me apprehensive and very fearful, but yet the Lord's pushing in that direction, saying, go that way, go that way, go that way, go that way. But yet for fear, if we're not careful, we won't go that way. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, seeking the kingdom of God sometimes is we just got to live by faith. We just got to live by faith. We go back up here, and what did He say? And He says, well, if I'm going to be like Paul. Is it in the book of Philippians that He says, finally, brethren, about three different times? He said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you little faith? Is He not going to take care of us as we go? Let's bow our heads this morning.